You're listening to Jimmy Disu.
Jimmy Disu.
Right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info.
Okay, you're welcome. That's how Jimmy used to come on, eh? I am not Jimmy. He'll be laughing right now where he is. I got him. Okay, you're welcome to Daily Digest. Welcome to Daily Digest Lagos. I'm not Jimmy Disu, of course. My name is Sheriff Kodri. Jimmy is currently on vacation, well-deserved rest. But he'll be back in 2 weeks. In the 2 weeks that he'll be away, I will be handling Daily Digest on his behalf. And yes, we promise you some really interesting conversation on Daily. And you know that Daily Digest really is that show that brings on expert opinions on some issues, national issues, topical issues, really. Basically, that's what the show is all about. Sheriff Kodri is my name. This morning we'll be speaking on cerebral palsy. Nonyenweke is executive director of CP Center, Cerebral Palsy Center. She joins me live on Daily Digest this morning. Nonye, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, good morning, Sheriff. Thank you very much.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Now, let's start with cerebral palsy. What can you tell us about it? What's your knowledge of cerebral palsy?
Well, cerebral palsy is, is my
life.
Can
you come closer to the mic?
Cerebral palsy is my life. I live it for the past 16 years. Medically, it's defined as a group of neurological disorders. Mouth feeling, right? Mm-hmm. But for a mother out there, it's something that's happened to your child, and your child is not able to do things that are taken ordinarily, majorly motor things. For instance, your child is not able to develop as par with her mates or his mates.
Okay.
She's not able to raise up, hold the motor things, the developmental milestones, hold up your head, sit unsupported, crawl, and all that. And it's as a result of an accident, quote unquote accident, that happened to the part of the brain that affects the muscles, balance, and posture.
Right.
Basically, the cerebrum, the cortex, the biggest part of the brain.
Okay.
So that's in a nutshell what it is.
You said that you've lived it for 16 years. What does that mean?
Lived it. My daughter has cerebral palsy.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's my life. She's 16, so it's my life.
I mean,
apart from that, for the past 12 years, I've worked with children with cerebral palsy.
Okay.
I started Cerebral Palsy Center, which I say humbly, is the first NGO to start talking about cerebral palsy, to differentiate it, to start saying disabilities, because for a long time, people don't hear cerebral palsy. So it took my daughter, I started asking questions, and I said, okay, people don't hear cerebral palsy. And you don't know what you don't hear. So begin to talk about it, and that was 12 years ago. So I said Cerebral Palsy Center.
You know, I'm so glad that we're having this conversation, because on the 27th of this month, I'll be having the same conversation with Dr. Adeboju from Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba, and they will be shedding more light on cerebral palsy. But let's discuss a bit further, Noye. You are the executive director of Cerebral Palsy Center. How did the center start? I mean, what gave birth to the center?
What gave birth to the center is my pains, my anger. I was angry at the society, angry at families, parents, particularly educated ones who have had children with cerebral palsy. Cerebral palsy is an everyday occurrence. It's every day. It's as old as life. And it entered into the medical lexicon in 1886. So that will tell you how old is it.
Quite long.
And and Nigeria, the hospital at Mercy was commissioned until 1962 or something. So that means from that very day, they would have had children with CP when you look at what causes cerebral palsy, Beth asphyxia, jaundice, all sorts of things. So it's an everyday thing. And nobody was talking about it. There was nothing, there was no structured way of managing children with cerebral palsy. We just bunched them up as disabilities, and then most of them are left in homes, quote-unquote homes. And then we accuse the parents that they abandon their children, that they hide their children because you don't understand the condition.
Yeah.
So when my daughter was the agonizer, I was angry, you know, angry. And then by the time, you know, you go through the mourning stages, denial, all those kind of things.
Yeah.
Then you get to that bus stop of acceptance. Okay. When you get to that bus stop now, acceptance now, you know, you see different stages. Okay. So you go to that stage, you know, the platform. What do I do? Where you don't stop asking, why me? Why me? Why not me?
Yeah.
Then you now say, okay, what now? What do I do? What do I do with this? This child.
Now that I'm here.
Yeah, now that I'm
this
here.
Is my new reality. So what mm-hmm. next?
Mm-hmm. This is my summer. This is my Italy. You know what I mean? The beautiful place.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
So what do I do? How do I manage it? And then I looked around. I still looking. I went around Lagos. I remember, you know, talked to a few people. And then nothing was being done, you know, by that time. I mean, of course, people go for physiotherapy and all, but the challenges that confront the families.
Which I'm still going to talk to you about, by the way, but just go on.
Nobody was doing anything about it. Right. And of course, you know, now the thing with that affects you, now you go take care of other people So you start solving your own problem, then you extend it to other people. So what was the major problem facing me? At 7 months, I took my daughter to a daycare, and that very day, I was asked to take her back.
That same day.
I remember taking her
from
out.
From the daycare?
From the daycare. I took her about 8 o'clock, went to work. I was running a restaurant back then. Then about 11, they called me. Somehow, the moment they called me, I knew. You know, somehow I have that instinct. But I refused to go, because if I picked her by that time, what will I do with her before I finish my work? So I waited. Towards the end of work, I went, I picked her, and the lady in charge told me that the owner came and said they were not going to take her because other mothers, other families, other parents will start withdrawing their children.
So that's stigmatization.
Fantastic. So from 7 months old, my daughter Chizimuzondo already was facing, so I wept so much.
You cried?
Of course, I cried, you know, not just because, you know, I didn't have anything to do with her, but at 7 months already, we were facing stigmatization already. So, later I found a place to take her, but they manage all disabilities. I know what happens when you bunch everybody up. Some people get neglected.
Yeah.
Either by, you know, sometimes not by, you know, not by desire. It may just be, you know, because the eye just does not like the ugly. So by the time she was there for 12 months, 18 months, I started asking questions. I mean, that's why you go to school, you have the path. Even when you are reading pharmacy, they still have different compartments.
That's right.
That kind of thing. Right. So why don't they just have, started reading? Back then, internet wasn't what it is today. But fortunately, I had access to internet. So I was able to read. And of course, you know, knowledge is a privilege. And then it's behoves on you. What do you do with it? You know, it kind of holds you to accountable. So I started looking at what was happening outside. I joined a lot of support group outside Nigeria. And then I said, okay, why don't you start a center? First of all, people need to hear the word cerebral palsy. It's a mouthful, you know, and it doesn't have any Nigerian interpretation. You know, there's no vernacular interpretation for it. And then the way it comes, it makes, that is part of why people stigmatize, because you don't know that is what happened at birth. Oftentimes, you don't connect it. You don't do the connection. Because whatever happened had happened at birth.
Right.
Then the manifestations come maybe from 3-4 months. So there's that gap. So that was what formed. So I decided that I was going to do something.
Okay.
As I didn't see anywhere to take my daughter to. You know, as they say, if you can't find what you're looking for, you create it. So I decided to create a place where I start solving my problem. What do I do? Wake up every day, take my daughter. And as I was going to the hospital, I met a lot of mothers, particularly mothers on the middle level, low income group, who have the same problem. So that was what gave birth to my starting the center.
Thank you so much, Noye, for giving us that background. It's very, very important that we establish that background. And I know that other parents still listening to this show this morning can connect to, you know, virtually everything you've highlighted this morning. If you're a parent and you have a child with cerebral palsy, we'd like to hear your story as well. Because I'm about to ask Noye a question now that I would love to ask you as well. And that is, if you can share, if it's not going to be too much for you to share the toll this is having or has had on your family, on yourself, if you can share that, we would appreciate it a lot. We would appreciate it a lot. But if it's going to be too much, you may not want to share. But when this started, what was it? Did it have any effect on your household? And what was it like?
Okay, let's just say I'm kind of unique. I'm a single mom.
Okay. That's not unique.
Hold on. Let me tell you why. I will tell you that. Okay. My daughter is adopted.
Okay.
So, like, there is no person that it was just me.
Okay.
And, of course, my family, brothers and sisters, they were just giving that support. Mm. And, you know, I have it. We are 11.
Okay.
And all of them supported me. Mm. Right. So, what I mean by that, there was no family, as in, you know, your husband giving you stress, which is what happens.
No pressure. From anybody.
No. Mm-hmm. And I think that is why I'm able to do what I'm doing, because I didn't have anybody to say, please, don't bring out my child. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to know about my child. I hear that from some mothers I talk to. Mm-hmm. Like when I encourage them, you can do what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. You can do it. And they say, you know, I have to think of my husband. You know, so that's why I say it's unique. It's not the fact, there's nothing unique about being a single parent. Mm. I just need to clear that.
Okay, all right.
So that pressure, the pressure I had was more from, I couldn't hold down my business. Mm. You see, when you have a child with CPE, right, from the diagnosis, you know, they send you for all kind of tests. Practically live in the hospital.
Mm.
Most of them, I say, are not very important, you know. But you do it, because if you don't do it, you're not going to go back to the doctor. Mm. So you run from us, then you go to physiotherapy and everything. So your business or your job is suffering. So that was it. And then if you have other kids, which again, I'm privileged I don't have, because I'm not taking that person's time to give to this one.
Yeah.
It affects the other people.
Yeah.
And of course, if it affects your home, so there's a lot of pressure.
Mm.
So every day, this woman or this family is in the hospital from one place to another. It's a lot of pressure. Your business is suffering.
Mm.
And if you have to meet up targets in the office, it's affecting it.
Right.
Your boss is not going to listen to you every day.
That's right. So in other words, I mean, even if you have a husband or you have a wife, and the both of you have, you know, what you do, definitely one person will have to sacrifice to be there for the child. And that's
there's no gain saying that. That's a fact. That's a fact. And oftentimes it's the mother.
Mm.
You know, it's the mother. Because most times, if the child is diagnosed early, 4, 5 months, 6 months, the doctors begin to get worried from 6 months.
Yeah.
But most mothers will notice from 3, 4, 5 months.
Hmm.
I noticed from 4 months.
What are those early signs?
Okay, the first thing, the child may not suck very well for the mothers who are breastfeeding.
Okay.
Then even if the child is sucking, but from 3 months, ideally, African children, I understand, I don't know the reason, begins to hold up their neck.
Okay.
But your child will not have neck control, right?
From three months.
But the child won't have, and of course, when the child does not have neck control, if you know, the child may not sit. So the child is not sitting at the appropriate age. So you will not meet those developmental milestones. 4 months, the child is doing this. 6 months, the child is sitting. 7 months, the child is, you know, walking and all that. Again, it depends on the severity of the affectation.
Yeah.
So those early signs, then some of them, sometimes the children might be having seizures. Again, the woman, the mother may not even know the child is having seizures.
Mm.
If it's not the obvious convulsion, maybe they're having what they call infantile spasms, which somebody like me thought was my child was being strong, you know, just go jerk, and I thought she was just being a strong girl, not when she was having seizures.
Mm.
So those signs are the signs, those are the early signs most mothers will begin to notice.
Let's talk to Lagos. I'll come to you about the CP Center and what you've been able to achieve thus far since the creation of the center. 0700-993-993-993. We're discussing cerebral palsy on the show today. Naya Weke is here. She's executive director of CP Center here in Lagos. If you have a child with CP and you'd like to share your story, we're open to hearing from you this morning. Female only line is 01465-7190. That is 01465-7190. That's for female callers only. WhatsApp is 0809-597-5805. That is 0809-597-5805. On WhatsApp. I have some messages here that have dropped. But let me take one call after this call. I will come to WhatsApp and take some messages there. Good morning to you. Good morning. Can you hear me? I can't hear you. I'm sorry. I think something is wrong with the connection. Please do try and call me back. Let me take this message here that says, is there any state in Nigeria that is doing... okay, this is not for us, actually. It just only came in this hour. I think it should have been in before this time. But let's take another call. Good morning to you. Good morning to you.
My name is Sunday from Lagos.
This is Sunday. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm a father of a 35-year-old CP.
35-year-old CP.
Yes.
Okay.
And I can share in what she has talked about.
Please do.
I congratulate her for that tenacity. It's not easy. I am a single father in a way.
Oh.
For this child of mine.
You're a single dad.
And to get a school, to get him to meet with other families or to other kids in school is difficult in Nigeria.
Mm.
And that is a problem that needs to be looked into for the disabled people generally.
Mm.
But CP can be very, very tasking.
All right.
Very, very. So,
well, how are you able to do it, sir? For 35 years.
Yeah, well, there is no school that I've not taken my son to see how he can be integrated. But just like she is, I also have this belief that they don't drop just like that.
It's not their fault.
To the extent of somebody wanting him to be dumped.
Oh,
but I refuse.
Dumped, I think just abandon him.
Exactly. And I refused and I said, look, this is something I have to do. Oh. I think at the age of 22, I went to UK to go and see if I can manage. But they said he's over age.
Oh.
And it's going to be very expensive keeping him. Thank God I didn't do that, because now that the pounds is 800 and something.
Hmm.
Maybe I will have abandoned him there.
Hmm.
So I just want to share that.
See, thank you.
Disability generally is not supported in the country enough.
Which is sad.
And I don't even know that something like this exists.
Hmm.
I would like to see if the contact can be dropped. I would like to see what I can do for her in our NGO.
Hmm.
Thank you very much.
Thank
and
you.
Well done.
Sorry,
I'm Jimmy Disu fan in a way.
Thank you.
I listen every minute.
Thank you, sir. Would get Noye's contact. She would release her contacts more later on. Josh from Alimosho is asking you a question here, and he says, is there a connection between cerebral palsy and Down syndrome?
No. The mice are part, let me put it that way.
Okay.
While Down syndrome is a chromosomal disorder, you know, they said they have one extra chromosome, you know, instead of everybody has 46 chromosomes, 23 pairs. But for some unexplained reason, you know, one, I think it's number 23 or so, just split. I'm not quite sure, but one pair split, and then they have 47 instead of 43.
Okay.
And of course, that distorts so many things. They come with oftentimes intellectual disability, and then some marked physical, you know, when you see them, it's like, just no.
Yeah.
Very happy people.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Let's talk about CP Center, Cerebral Palsy Center. Take us through what you've been able to achieve since the creation of that center. I mean, by the way, I must first congratulate you for taking that initiative, you know, to start a center just because of what you've observed, the gap that you observe in society. I mean, that's remarkable. That's great.
Thank you.
Take us through your journey, having a cerebral palsy center.
12 years ago, well, first of all, 13 years ago, I decided to shut down my business. I was running a fast food business.
Okay.
So I shut it down. It was like my daughter had CP all over. You know, everybody was like, how can you leave known to unknown? But I knew that this was something that needed to be done.
Mm.
As I said earlier, I wasn't happy with parents who have had children with CP, particularly educated ones, because, you know, education gives you that privilege to know what to do. You know, here we expect the government to do everything. I hold them accountable to a lot of things. But then you start something.
Hold your thought, please, Noya. Please forgive me. Sure. We're going to step out. Let's take this short break. It's a short break. And we'll be back and we'll continue with your story of CP Center. Lagos, stay with us here. It's Daily Digest with Jimmy Lisu. I'm Sharif Quadri. We'll be back. Welcome back to Daily Digest here with Jimmy Lisu. I'm Sharif. So 9:30 is the time. And I have Noya Nweke here on the show. She is Executive Director, Cerebral Palsy Center here in Lagos. Noya, thank you again for coming through. So before the break, you were going to take us through the center and what your people have been able to achieve.
So how I started. So reason why I started, of course, the reason is my daughter. And then I didn't see what we had to take her basically. Mm. You know, you send your children to school because you want to have some breathing space, go to work and all that, apart from they getting academic laurels. Mm. So when that wasn't happening, and it was affecting my business, I was running a fast food business, which was very good at back then. And it was affecting my daughter, affecting me. So I had to make a choice. And and my father used to say that, you know what, you can't cry alone. Neither can you laugh alone. Mm. So I had to do something that's, while I'm helping myself, I help other families, particularly those who can barely put food on their table. Mm. They need to go to market every day. Mm. So I shut down my business. And in 2010.
You shut down your food business?
Yes, I shut it down, yes. It was like, my daughter has cerebral palsy all over because we are like, you can leave known to unknown. And particularly, like I said, from day one, I say, you know what? It's going to be free. What did I say is going to be free? Because people accuse us. Now, it's my club. I mean, people with children like this. Mm-hmm. That we abandon. You heard the man say drop.
Yeah, yeah. He said so. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because what happens is that they don't, when you go to those places, some of those places, let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. I visited some, which informed my doing what I'm doing today. You wouldn't even want to leave your dog there. Mm-hmm. The place is not nice. So when you leave your child there because you are desperate to move on, not to move on with life without your child, but you want to do other things. Mm. You want to earn money, you want to work, take care of other children, take care of yourself, plan for the future. So you leave your child there. When you go back, your child is not looking very well. As I said, you distance yourself, so people go away. And they, those places, most of them get a lot of support because they work with abandoned children. Because they feel sorry for them. Oh, your children are abandoned. You are trying, they give a lot of support. Mm. But the people who give support don't hold them accountable. Because you need to ask, why did this be like this? Now, they don't give you 5 naira the other day. You know what I mean? Nobody asks me, don't ask questions. Well, we just sign a check and we go away. So I say, I don't vex. I say, okay, how we do this thing for free?
Okay.
Children, we stay with their, we live with their families. Mm. And we give services for free. The other reason was that back then, if you don't go to the hospital, or even when you are going to hospital, you have to hire a physiotherapist or somebody to come and work with your child at home.
Yeah.
And it's only very rich who can afford it. Mm. Because what they charge, you know, when you get to the hospital, the doctor will tell you, you know, your child needs physiotherapy at least 3 times in a week. That's the least you can do. Mm. And of course, in the hospital, they give you once in 2 weeks, once a month appointment. Mm. So what does that say? You have to get a private person to work with your child.
Right.
So, so I decided it's going to be free so that the few people who can come there, they're not going to pay anything. I will save them the problem of paying for physiotherapy and everything.
So you give these children physios?
Everything is free, yes. Yeah, free.
And drugs and?
For those in the boarding, it's free. And I beg people bring the thing. It's true now. That's a fact.
How you start? How did you, I mean, you
okay,
have
when
a...
When I started, I didn't want to do an NGO because you know what? I didn't want to be associated with an NGO.
Yeah.
So I said in February, I just said I want to do CP Center. I know, Niger girl, I will work hard and make the money to pay to do what I'm doing because I didn't want to beg anybody for money. And again, you know, some people don't like begging from my side. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I thought that I would be able to do what I'm doing, you know, because I shut down one branch of my business. I had another branch. Mm. But as God we have it, I like to say God, because a few months down the line, they started working on that road. That's Badagry Express Road, where I had a very thriving business.
Okay.
And they shut down the business. So what did I say? I had to go begging. Mm. So I said, okay, I'll depend on my siblings. My mama born 11 of us. So I say, you know what? Everybody will contribute. Of course, they'll be willing to contribute. But people started telling me, you know what? there's a limit to what your siblings can do and your friends. If you don't register as an NGO, you're not going to get the support and you are not going to move far. Then I said, okay, I'll do an NGO, but it has to be with a difference.
Okay.
The difference is that you must ask me when you give me money, please come and ask me.
What you use the money for?
Yes. Not just asking, let me show you. Let me prove it to you. And it's been like that. Many of them don't ask, but that we're able to do what we are doing today is that people come in unannounced. That's the one I love most, unannounced. You want to see everywhere you are taken. If you want to see my book, you are, don't even know how to keep the books, but somebody's keeping it. You look at it, I don't know it. You understand? You have an auditor. So you look at, they look at it.
You have to be very clear. You have a property now.
Yes.
CP Center.
Yes.
At
Lakwe.
At Lakwe.
Yes. Just and near the golf course. And let me drop name now.
And it's...
it's a prime area, very near the golf course too. Just the street before it.
It's okay, now. You're Shakara too much.
Why you no go Shakara now? When, you know, when people they say NGO, no, they do anything.
Yeah.
So I have to prove.
And it's publicly funded.
It's publicly 1,000 Naira. 500, you know, 500 Naira, 1,000 people drop.
I have seen the picture. You have built an edifice for CP children. That's amazing.
Yes, I thank God. And, you know, it's to the glory of God and every Nigerian.
For free?
Yes, for free.
Oh, my.
For free. Because I didn't use my money to do it. People gave money. People must gauge their conscience. Some people came out shamelessly on Facebook begging. Some of them don't know me personally, but they've come, maybe they've met somebody who has known me. And they so I'm really happy about it. It makes me proud. It makes me, you know, want to say, oh, Nigerians, we can do this. And I'm urging every parent, most parents can, you can replicate it. Because I don't want it to be crowded with children. You know, rich people house, they know they're plenty inside now.
It's okay, you are proud.
You know, I want, when people leave the place, right?
Yeah.
The children, you know, honesty, as they get older. You know, we only talk of children. My daughter is 16, or she'll be 17 soon.
That's right? She'll be no more a child, yeah.
So, you know, they will become adults.
Yeah.
And as they're aging, as because of the nature of the condition, they know they're finer. A lot of distortion setting. Those ones on the spectrum of my daughter, severe, what they call level 5. Right. So I don't want, so normally when you see them, you go, they feel sorry for them. I don't want you to leave the place with that impression. I want you to leave that place envious of the children there, that they have beautiful environment. And how am I going to do that? I need to have money to pay the caregivers so well
that's
that they'll be happy packing their, you know, dressing them up, cleaning them up.
Right.
The children can't do anything for themselves. So that's another area I want to address. Most times we like to give only rice and beans. Please now, they should give me money to pay my staff very well.
Right.
So I can insist they clean my children very well. They keep the environment very clean. You know.
I mean, that's a beautiful edifice we've got, I must say. I mean, I couldn't even close my mouth when I saw it, and you told me that it was publicly funded.
Under 3 years, far.
Under 3 years.
Yes, started after the COVID.
Just under 3 years.
We commissioned it. We handed the site over to the contractors on the 14th of February, 2020. They were setting up their site, please, when COVID started. So after COVID, they started work.
Where did you source for funding from? Let's be very clear.
I will tell you, we just woke up one day and said, okay, we've bought land. First of all, on buying land, it was saving. Nobody was giving money to buy land. You know, I don't trust people. So we are saving money. Just being diligent. Somebody walks and gives us 500. Actually, I wasn't expecting it. Please, we'll put it in that account. I wasn't expecting it. So I can do without it, or I could do without it. So we saved up. We started by doing a concert. You know, Woko. People didn't give us money for that concert.
Shishi.
They no give shishis. But this was a good experience.
Yeah.
And I met fantastic people. 2016, fantastic people that are still with me today. So it wasn't totally a failure. But thereafter, you know, people got to know us, and then we started saving. Then in 2019, we bought the land, 3+ of land, still from money people gave us, you know, together. Then people, you know, by the time I announced I bought land, people started having more confidence, more trust. And I said I was looking for money to start building. And God sent awesome people, the architects for free, QS, all those consultants, everything was free, the lawyer. We've had our CFO now. The lawyer did everything for free.
Wow.
So people started donating. People started donating. We did make this video that was asking for 1,000 naira for everybody. And God just put it in an awesome place. We are looking for influencer, and God influences himself. The house on the rock.
Oh, wow.
And they showed it at the experience. It was fantastic.
Oh.
Which influencer passed that now?
Beautiful. Yes. That's beautiful. I'm going to go to telephone. Like, you're going to share your contact because it's a good cause. If we have people that would like to support the PC Center, CP Center, in, you know, funding and other ways, would appreciate that on the show. Let's see who we have here. Good morning to you.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning to you, madam.
Good morning. Yes, okay, ma'am. So my name is Mrs. Maureen.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I wanted to find out from her because I have a friend who called in. She has a daughter with that challenge.
Yeah.
Okay, and then one of the days when she was on the radio, also, I think with Jimmy, I got her contact and shared with my friend.
Okay.
But the friend now said that when she called, she was asked to come and stay there.
Okay.
At the center.
At the center. Okay.
And then she was a bit confused from what I told her I heard on the radio.
Okay.
So is she able to clarify that issue?
Okay.
If parents are to come what is the money? Because she said, my friend said that she told her that it's expensive, and then but she did not mention any amount. And then she only gave the condition of my friend leaving her job, coming to stay there with her baby.
Yeah.
And then she didn't just understand what that...
I'm glad she's here to address that, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
So I would like her to address
that. Okay. All right.
I'm sure there must be a confusion somewhere because I haven't been to...
Exactly. So you know, she said that you were with Jimmy, I was like, hey, you've not been here before.
I've never seen face only on paper.
And Uncle Jimmy told me yesterday that you guys have never met before.
We've never met. I just reached out to him that he doesn't seem as if he likes NGO, but I need to come here and show him that NGO. So it's okay. Then we talked.
He told me himself yesterday, actually, that you've never met before.
I've never been to the show, so he might be confusing me with somebody else.
I think so. I honestly think so. So please, you can call back to
anybody who has come to the center knows that it's free.
Mm.
I encourage mothers. Most times I ask them, can you come and work?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
First, I encourage them. For instance, I say, okay, you're a teacher. You wake up, you leave your child at home, you go and teach. Why don't you come and let us build a place? Because your child is going to have this condition in the next 10 years, in the next 15 years.
Yeah.
Right. So obviously that wasn't me.
Is there special training for your caregivers, especially those, for instance, the teachers, the other parents and other caregivers, and that you give, apart from the physio sessions that you have, you know, core professionals to come and handle?
Okay, apart from the physio, we do a therapy called ABR therapy.
Okay.
You can say I found that online.
Okay.
That was like 8 years ago, thereabouts.
Okay.
In my usual cross way, I reached out to them. Back then, internet wasn't like this, like 11 years ago or something.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent hard copies of, you know, of their things and everything.
Oh, who sent hard copies?
The ABR team.
ABR.
In Belgium. Yes,
they are in Belgium.
Okay. It's called Advanced Biomechanical Rehabilitation Therapy.
Oh.
You can call it an alternative therapy.
Okay.
Yes. So curiously, I reached out to them and they got back to me.
Mm.
Then I took my daughter and I went there.
Mm.
And that is majorly what we do.
Okay.
So I go there. I used to go. We started by going every 3 months. Mm. Ask me how we go every 3 months. The same begging. I wish I had the flyers I used to share to people in the church.
Mm.
Yes. And we go every 3 months. Then when I said, you know what, I can't afford 3 months. Can I do once every 6 months?
Okay.
They agreed. So each time the first time I came, I say, you know what, I'm doing this and I'm here because people supported me. So anything I do for my daughter, you have to teach me what I'll do for the children I'm working with. Now, the director, she has a child with CP as well.
Okay.
So we are in the same club. So she agreed. So it's like I come in there, buy one, get 13 of what's in free.
Oh,
you know how many children
beautiful.
I had.
Beautiful.
Fantastic, yes.
Beautiful.
So in 2000, so it was like that. Then I said, you know what, I can't come every 6 months. I'll come once a year.
Mm.
You know, then internet improved. Then we could do Zoom. Then we could, you know, we started with Skype.
Yeah.
Then before Zoom. So in 2019, I brought the team to Lagos.
Oh.
Yes, because I needed...
From Belgium?
From Belgium, yes.
Oh,
still
beautiful.
Asking for money from people. People gave me money.
Yeah.
Yes, I paid their fare. But they came, I only paid their fare. I didn't have to pay for the training. So they came and they trained us. We had an open house. We invited the physiotherapists to ask them questions because it's kind of new therapy. So apart from the physiotherapy, we do that therapy.
Okay.
And I'm the chief trainer because, you know, I talk with them. They train me, then I train my staff. So that is what we do. So caring for children, well, you need the care. We need the training. You know, how do you do that? You study.
Yeah.
You take your courses on.
That's right.
Then you train mothers. And some of those things are things, you know, you don't even know that you know.
Mm.
That these are simple things you can do for your mom, for your child.
Mm.
So that is why when parents say they can't do what I'm doing, I say, no. All you have to do is to start.
Mm. Let's go to the telephone lines. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. My lines are blinking. Let's see if the lady is calling back. Good morning to you.
Hello?
Yes, you're back.
So I'm back.
Okay.
I'm back because probably maybe it was not this radio station.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that day she was talking about the 1-1000.
Okay.
And there was an account that was provided.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
So this now happened that I told my friend because her daughter is about 7 years.
Okay.
And she works. Because if she doesn't work, she's also a single parent.
Yeah.
If she doesn't work, there's no way she can raise money for the other children.
Right.
She has about a child, a boy.
Right.
So she now said, I mean, I was, there was a conference call. She now said that Mrs. Noyer asked her that the only way they operate in the center is that she needs to leave her job and come and stay with her daughter in the center. And then she could not fathom because she has the other guy, the other boy at home.
Mm.
And then she didn't know how to handle it. So let us know how much if she's collecting money for somebody. Because she now said, Miss Maya, I remember, said that she cannot come and dump the
child
there at the center. Other people have to take care of them, which I understand. But we now ask how much.
If it's going to cost anything.
It's required to be paid. And she said she didn't mention. But the only thing she said, it was expensive.
Okay.
So
all
let
right.
us know.
Okay.
If it's free.
Okay.
And when they bring the baby, how will she be able to help?
Okay.
You know, to
all right.
care? I mean, the implications.
All right, I hear you. I think your point is noted. Let's address this once and for all.
Yes, the center is completely free. It's been like that since we started.
Okay.
I sometimes encourage mothers. I just told you.
You just said it. Yes.
That I have a mom now working with me. She didn't have a job, so she wanted to bring her child so she can go get a job. I said, why give you a child and can't get a job? I pay you salary. And then you will work with me. And she's here. She's happy.
Hmm.
I've done that for, I don't have to call her name. She later left after 5 years.
Okay.
Right? She went to school. She's at UI.
Okay.
So the center, and most of us ask people, if I ask you to pay, you can't even pay. How much can you pay me as a me? So we don't charge money. Since we started, we've never charged money to anybody.
Okay.
And of course, you can't take in every child. I told you that too.
Yeah, we spoke off air. And I said, how many children are you willing to take in inside this gigantic center? And you said,
No, we can't take it. There's a limit to how many children you can say, which is why I say it to parents.
Yeah.
Every time on my page, I talk about it, that parents can replicate what I have done, what I'm doing.
You said that's exactly why you're doing this campaign, so that others can replicate it.
Because that's why you have different hospitals, Lasso, whatever, you know, that's because you don't want to congest one place.
Mm.
And you have to know, when you take up a child, right?
Yeah.
If the child is embodied, you need at least minimum two people, depending on how severe the child is.
Mm.
For instance, my daughter is 16. I need at least three people to manage her.
Mm.
Because one person will be resting.
Mm.
For me to get here, I have to get somebody. To come and sleep over and beg her to please help me bathe my daughter at a certain time. That somebody will help her. That is, they will need two people because two people need to lift her.
Right.
So when I take up a child, you need at least two people. One person during the day, one person at night.
Mm.
So you know, that's why, you know, when you ask me.
It's hard. It's really hard. It's,
you ask, are you asking people to bring? I say, no. Because, and this is part of why I don't like going to talk on air, because each time you talk on air, everybody wants to bring, it's like, it's an invitation to bring in your child.
Mm.
But part of what I came here is to dispel the fact that NGOs take money and they don't do what they say they take the money to do.
Mm.
When I take in so many children, what of the caregivers? Do we train caregivers?
Mm.
It's not a kind of job many people want to do.
Mm.
So before you get caregivers who wants to do the job is difficult.
It is.
That most people are just doing it as something they will do for a while. Mm. So, and I don't want to take children and they're just sitting down there. Mm. Because usually people ask you, how many children do you have? They like you to say large number.
Yeah.
Right?
Because we like throwing out big numbers.
Yes. Mm. They like large numbers.
So you can show that you're working.
Yes, that you're working. But then it's not, what exactly are you doing with them? And again, when you throw out large numbers, you get more support. Mm. Those giving support do not really know the intricacies of what is involved. Mm. So when you say, oh, you have 400 children, well done. But nobody sits down and looks to see what exactly
the impact this, that you're having in these children.
You can have 10 children who you need, who you work more with than just having 100 children. Mm. Particularly for children with CP. So when people, so a lot of people, in fact, last week I was telling my friend when we did the unveiling, I said, no, what my prayer is that I don't make more enemies than friends when I finish this. Mm. Because everybody wants to bring in his or her child, and I'm not going to do that.
You know, I asked you during the break that, yes, you know, can we call in for people to
bring in? No.
And you said no.
Yes. Mm. Because I already, my waiting list is this high. You see, that's why I say, when I say I'm angry. Now, how many, the government should, well, let me not, I don't want to say government. Mm. Individual, if I know you can do it, why can't you do it? Mm. It's simple now. You have your child. You ask yourself, what does my child need? Mm. My child needs support. For the ones who have children with mild CP, you know, your child intellectually is not affected. Mm. Your child can indicate, oh, I want to do this. The child can function. Mm. But when your child is on the level that my daughter is, or on the level on the one we call Baba or Senator, Baba and Senator, we have to feed them by the tube. We don't even know if they are where we are there.
Mm.
But we have to keep them, and they're the most expensive to manage. Mm. Very expensive. We feed Baba every 2 hours. We feed Senator every 3 hours. Yes, you have to be diligent about that. Mm. You know, and oftentimes they're sick.
Mm.
You pay for that. You pay. Take them to hospital. You pay for that. So people don't really know what it takes to manage.
We have to go, Noye.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We really have to go. But I have to find a way to bring you back. So we can have further conversation. But if people would like to, for instance, anybody that wants to do what you do and mean take your advice, how can they reach you?
Please reach me on, is it 0 or 0? Which one?
Anyone that you like.
Well, I was telling that whether it's 0 or 0, I don't know.
Anyone you like.
Okay. It's 080.
Yeah.
0803 348.
Mm-hmm.
2792.
Okay, take that again.
0803-348-2792.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Nayeweke, thank you so much for joining us.
And let
us
me just say this, right? Yeah. As we speak, I have two mothers. One is in Adamawa, one is in Owerri, who are already starting what I'm starting. They don't have to build anything.
Oh,
yes.
they've already started what you're doing.
Yes.
Oh, be fantastic.
Yes.
Please reach out to Noye if you'd like to start what she's doing, and she'll be able to put you through. Thank you again, Noye, for coming.
Thank you very much, Eric.
Daily Digest is the show. I'll be back on Daily Digest on Tuesday. You know, there's no Daily Digest on Monday, so I'll be back on Tuesday on Daily Digest. In the meantime, What's Up Lagos is next with Mary Ann and Stretch. Good morning to you.